turn your Bible to Ephesians 6:16, please. The African impala can leap the height over 10 feet, and it can jump, it can cover the distance of 30 feet, greater than 30 feet. Yet this magnificent animal can be kept in the enclosure, a block wall enclosure that is no more than 3 feet high block wall in any zoo. The reason why it will not escape that over 3 feet high enclosure is because impala has a tendency will not jump or go jump over the fence if he cannot see it. Since the block wall is blinding his sight, so he will not jump over because he doesn't know where his feet's going to land. Let me put it this way. Faith is ability to trust what we cannot see. Did you get that? Faith is ability to trust what we cannot see, and with the faith, we are free from the flimsy enclosure of life that only fear allows to entrap us. Faith is ability to trust what we cannot see. So go to the Hebrews chapter 1, chapter 11, verse 1. When we talk about faith, we got to go to the Hebrews. Right before the book of James, right after Philemon's. Hebrews 11, 1. This pretty much summarizes what the faith is supposed to be. Now, faith is the substance of the things hoped for, the evidence of the things not seen. As I told you guys before, faith is not faith if you can see. If you can see the whole thing, it should be called as an acknowledgement. Faith only works when we don't see the promise that is made to us, yet trust the one who made it. Many of us said, I have a faith in God. Yet, when we face a difficult time, we crumble under the pressure of the difficult time. And we sometimes don't believe in God and God's promise. There is a tremendous difference between everyday faith and textbook faith. Textbook faith, you can memorize the entire Bible about regarding the faith. You may even be able to teach about faith. But if you don't trust what it says, the promise of God, that is nothing more than information. That is nothing more than knowledge. Everyday faith is what we need. Without seeing, without knowing what God is going to do, with a simple trust in His promise from the Bible. If we trust and start to do the things from that base, that is a true faith in God. Am I making sense? The first century Roman soldiers always kept his sandals on and his breastplate and he had a belt. He constantly had that on. See, from that moment, when the battle occurs, he will grab a helmet, and he will grab a shield, he will grab a sword and lance, or so on, and he will go out to the battle. Verse 16 separates the three pieces of armor, that is a belt, breastplate, and sandal, from that to the next era. And next era is more for the weapons of that involves fighting. So let's start at verse 16 of chapter 6, and we will pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to you to learn more about faith, the shield of faith in our lives, Father, we are asking you to open our heart to receive your truth. And we are asking you the anointing upon us through your word that we may understand your truth. And Father, we are asking you the anointing to be upon the one who speaks, and please forgive his sins. And Father, we also pray for the President Obama that he may receive salvation true salvation comes from you alone. And whatever it takes for him to turn his heart to you and receive Jesus into his heart. And we pray for our troops, law enforcement personnel, and firefighters, those who protect our freedoms and safety. Father, we're asking you to you watch over them and keep them safe. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 16 of chapter 6 in Ephesians. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked ones. This verse starts with two words, above all. As I mentioned, that three pieces of armor, of spiritual armor, must be on with us since we are born again Christian. Above all means that we are now into the new era now, and battle is going to heat up, and we better have the shield of faith, because our enemy is going to come after us. Well, he's already on it. Roman soldier's shield is made of the wood, and it was a large rectangular object, about 2 feet wide and 4 feet long, made out of thick wood, and it's covered with a copper metal piece. So that when the enemy shoots the arrow, it can block. And they are heavy, and because it has to be thick enough. And it has also the little notch on each end of the shield, so they can link with one another. And it becomes the moving bunker. As they link with each other's shield, and they will have a little hole as they link with one another. And through that hole, the archer can fire their arrows from the wall, from the bunker inside. Paul's reference to the fiery dart or flaming arrow relate to one of the most commonly used military tactics during that ancient time. Prior to the actual sword-to-sword and hand-to-hand combat, the ancient warrior would often face the barrage of fiery arrows or flaming arrows to them from all directions. This fiery dart or flaming arrow's sole purpose was to demoralize and confuse the warrior. The Roman soldier had to hold up his shield to protect himself and his battle buddies from these arrows. You see, the breastplate the Roman soldier wore is pretty much made out of the layers of the thick leather. They could not wear the metal piece that thick because it would be too heavy for him to move around and encompass them. But that oil-soaked arrowhead, the fiery dart head, would not only penetrate the leather breastplate, and that oil, fiery oil, will drip down to his Roman soldier's tunic, and it will set the fire on the man. Am I making sense? That's why he had to use a shield of faith, a shield, to protect himself from the flaming arrows. In spiritual realm, Satan is going to fire his flaming arrows to demoralize and confuse us. He's going to set his crosshair on you and open fire. So be forewarned. Satan's aim is very accurate with his fiery dart. And you may wonder, why you say his aim is very accurate? Because he knows you and he knows me. He knows our attribute. He knows our behavior. He knows our thinking pattern. So his aim is very accurate. So we know what the physical side of the fiery dart and flaming arrow can do to the ancient warriors in Roman days. But what about the spiritual area? What symbolic things could these arrows represent? They could be arrows of immorality or hatred, envy, pride, covetousness, doubt, and worry, or any other kinds of sins. They come in all size and all shape, but mostly comes in the thoughts. Let me explain. You can wake up in the morning. Before your feet hit the floor, the thought comes to you. And you're thinking, this thought is not a godly thought. Rather, it can be immorality, or it can be hatred toward someone, or it can be just plain ungodly thought. And you think about it, and you're thinking, how can I think of such a horrible thought early in the morning? Those are the fiery darts. Those are the flaming arrows. Then, of course, the Satan who threw that fiery dart and flaming arrows at you and condemn you now. And he will say, how can you say, think such a thing so early in the morning? And how can you call yourself a Christian? He's not only the firing the fiery darts at you, now he's condemning you in a very cunning way. It is not, as I said before, it is not sin to be tempted. But even though Jesus was tempted, yet he was without sin. Those temptations and condemnation are the fiery darts and flaming arrows from Satan. Let me ask you this. How strong is your shield of faith? Is it thick enough and strong enough to extinguish any fiery dart that comes from Satan? Or does it have a shape and a look of a shield of faith, yet at the first attack of Satan, their fiery dart and its flaming arrows penetrate through your shield of faith and you crumble under that attack? So how can we build the shield of faith stronger so that we can block off these fiery darts from Satan against us? I find the three very important shield building methods. We need all three, not just one. You hear me? Number one, through the Word of God, the Bible. Great evangelist D.L. Moody said this, "The Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible." Good way to say it. While we read, study, and memorize the Bible verses from the Word of God, we learn to put more faith in our Lord God. By the way, in your folder, you have this, our daily bread, right? We hand this out to you so that you can use it. This is not to put it in the top of your coffee table so it looks good. No. What does it say? Our daily bread. If you take the hour and the bread off, it says daily, right? It means to use daily, not once in a blue moon or once in a week, weekly or monthly. This will help you to study the Word of God each day and set the day correctly by getting into the Word of God. You need to study the Word of God daily. And you may say, well, I'm not a pastor. I don't have to. It is your manual. You need to study the Word of God daily. By the way, have you noticed when you read the newspaper, you can concentrate what you're reading? Or when you watch TV, mindless TV program, you can watch it without any interruption. Did you notice that? But as soon as you pull out your Bible, all hell broke loose, right? You get the interruption, kids bother you, and the phone rings. And all of a sudden you remember all the things, 101 extra things that you are supposed to do. Before you have a Green Valley moment all the time, now all of a sudden you remember. Those are the fiery darts, those are the flaming arrows. To stop you from getting into this Word of God. Am I making sense? Can you relate this? Please don't think that when you have some time, you will read the Bible. That will never happen in a million years. You make time. Each and every day, you make a time to study the Word and read the Bible. If you've been coming to our church for some few weeks or a few months, you'll notice that we put a lot of emphasis on the Bible, the Word of God. And we do not relate with the emotion or the experience. And you may say, well, how come you don't do that? And especially if you're coming from the charismatic background, denomination background, you may say, there is no emotion. It's just bone dry. No, it's not bone dry. We try to be strictly guided by the Holy Spirit. If you have a, if you expect the church service should be driven by emotion, that emotion can, here's the reason. Emotion can be altered. Emotion can be fabricated. And you may wonder, what does it mean, fabricate? If I raise my hand, I try to look myself godly, and guess what? You may do the same thing. There's a fabrication. And if you do speaking in tongue, I might do the same thing. I might do it more louder. There's a fabrication. But we do it according to Bible. According to Bible, we do not speak in tongue unless there's interpretation of tongue. So we rather stick with what the Bible says, and because the Bible does not change. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Second method of building the shield of faith is through prayer. Since we are going to study about the topic of prayer in a couple of weeks, we are not going to go into the in-depth, just briefly touch this thing. Your prayer to the Lord is your hotline. There is no formula or spell that make God listen to your prayer more. But there are two things you must consider your prayer. Number one, pray for God's will. Pray for God's will. We don't have a whole picture of our difficult situation. We only see them right now and what happened previously. But God does. You and I cannot go wrong by asking Him for His perfect will, and instead of in our own desires. So go to the 1 John chapter 5, please. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. Now, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according, get this, if we ask anything according to His will, what does it say? He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we have asked of Him. So what does it mean? We ask according to His will, He hears us, and that means He will do what He promised us. I heard some Word of Faith movement teachers falsely tell their congregation, don't ask for God's will. Don't ask for God's will. What an audacity, what an ignorance, and what a blasphemy that is. Are they telling us that our will is better than God's will? Give me a break. Second guideline in your prayer is, don't pray with your selfish reason or motive. Don't pray with your selfish reason or motives. You certainly can have your own desires, but don't let that be the focal point of your prayer. James chapter 4, verse 3, please. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasure, being selfish and greedy. Again, Satan will do anything to stop you from praying, as he is trying very hard to stop you from reading the Bible. So you pray to the Lord not when you are in the tight corner only, but you pray to the Lord every day, several times a day, as a matter of fact. Third, shield building program is through church fellowship. This time, turn one more book, turn to the left, one more book, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Verse 25, it's very important. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. So much and so much more as you see the day approaching. Some people say, well, I don't have to go to church to worship God or to believe in God. Is that true? Yes, it is true. But if that person is truly born-again Christian, that person will do the things what God tells us to do through what Apostle Paul said. In most cases, not attending church service regularly is nothing more than an excuse to be disobedient to the Lord and thinking oneself better than one who is a pride, which is a pride and a sin itself. Have you heard somebody saying, well, I'm not going to church because there are too many hypocrites in the church? Have you ever heard that? Well, join the club. Go to church because you are not a hypocrite anyway. And somebody will say, well, there's too many sinners in the church. You're one of them. So what kind of thing happened at your home when you're getting ready to go to church on Sunday morning? I think Murphy's Law just steps in my opinion. Anything can go wrong, will go wrong, right? For ladies, you stand in front of a closet full of clothes, and you have absolutely nothing to wear. And your makeup, your hair don't go well the way you want it. And the earrings will not go into the hall. For guys, like this morning, my battery was dead. Or your tire is flat, and you cannot find the Bible. Or kids start to irritate you. So you yell at the kid, and your wife gave you that look again. You are in trouble again. The things can go wrong, will go wrong. Why? It's a fiery dust, it's a flaming arrow. Satan will do anything to keep you from going to church. Do you know, there is one more thing about the church, benefit of church. You come to church and you can fellowship with one another. And you can pray for one another. Remember what I said at the linking up the shield, the Roman soldiers linking up their shield with each other like this? And like a moving bunker. Helping each other, protecting each other. When you attend the church services and have a fellowship with another believers in Christ, you are linking up the shield of faith with them against the satanic fiery dart and flaming arrows that comes at you. If you're like me, you forget a lot of things. I go upstairs and stand at the landing and I was wondering, why did I come up here? So I have to go downstairs where I started. Or sometimes I pick up the notepad so I can write it down so I don't forget. And I hold the notepad and looking around. What am I supposed to write here? If you come to church and somebody asks you, pray for me for this. Don't expect that you're going to remember to pray for that person. Most likely you'll forget if you're like me. So instead of saying, I will do it later, why not do it right on the spot, pray for that person? And you may say, well, I don't know how to pray nicely. Really? Does it matter? You're not praying to that person. You're not praying to anybody. You're praying to one who can do anything. That's God. Does God know about you? Yes, He knows how you can pray. We already know God's will is better than anything else. So ask God, I pray for this brother or sister, for your will be done in that person's life. If that person is going through a difficult time, financial difficulty, and ask God to provide what they need. If that person is injured and or they need a healing, ask God to heal that person, God willing. How simple is that? Can you do that? It's very simple. I would love to see that you guys are praying for one another in the church. I want this church to be a praying church more than anything. You rely on God's power, not your own prayer, fancy prayer language. Loving our God is easy when everything goes our way, and He grants our requests and provides what we desire. But loving Him in difficult circumstances tests our faith. What if we pray for God's will in our already difficult situation? Maybe your health is deteriorating. Maybe your finances are bad. And you pray for God's will, only to find the situation is worse than before. Now what? Now what? Did our faith in God drop His ball on your situation for the first time in the history of the universe? No. In Daniel chapter 3, we read the life and death situation of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. If they choose to worship the golden image that was set up by the King Nebuchadnezzar, they would live. But if they choose to deny the worship that golden image, they most certainly will die. Let's go to Daniel chapter 3, please. Daniel, book of Daniel is located right before book of Hosea, right after Ezekiel in Old Testament. Chapter 3, verse 17, please. If that is the case, one of the Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego is speaking to King Nebuchadnezzar, if that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And He will deliver us from your hand, O king. Verse 18, there's a three word I want you to pay attention. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your God, nor will we worship the golden image which you have set up. Was Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego lacking in faith for them to say, but if not? Well, the faith movement people will say, well, yeah, they were lacking in faith. No, here's a lesson for all of us to learn. Let me ask you this. Is our God all-powerful? Answer me. Okay, is our God able to deliver us from any of our difficult situations? But so does He deliver us from the difficult situation all the time? Yes, you're right. He doesn't deliver us from the difficult situation all the time. But we still must trust Him, even to our death. In case you think that the death on the earth, the believer's death on earth, is the final thing, you have a wrong idea. It is the only beginning of the brand new world that we have never known, except few words that are described by the Apostle Paul and Apostle John and Jesus Christ. Go to the 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, please. One of my favorite verses, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. If you've been in the memorial service that I conduct, I probably quote this verse almost every time. Apostle Paul speaking, as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard. You there yet? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. Last Monday, I did a memorial service for one of our congregation. His name is Sherman Moore. You may know him, you may not know him. It was a beautiful service. Not because of music, not because of loving family, but because the name of Jesus was lifted up. And there was an assurance and hope was given through the Holy Spirit to the family. The hope of the arrival of Sherman Moore to heaven through the Word of God. The promise that it was given to us. We may never fully comprehend God's purpose in our difficulties and sufferings, but we must not cease to love Him. We must trust Him and hope in Him in spite of the trials that threaten to overwhelm us. Right now, you may go through a difficult time. Right now, you may face the death. or feel like you're dying. Listen up. Even if you die, even if I die, there's one promise that God given to us through Jesus Christ. We will be in heaven. Let me put it this way. I will take the worst day of the heaven. I don't know if there's such a thing as the worst day of the heaven over the best day on earth. Wouldn't you? So, if you get to die because of your illness, or if you get to die because of whatever the reason, wow, you're losing everything, right? No, you're gaining everything. Where there is no more death, no more night, no more tears, no more sadness. You enter into the presence of God in heaven. That is a hope and assurance we have in through Jesus Christ. I have three principles of faith to remember. I want you to remember this. Number one, faith looks beyond the circumstance, beyond up and down, ups and downs, beyond feelings. Faith looks at what God can do. Second principle, faith is believing what not only can God can do, but that God will do it. When He promised to us, He will do it. He never drops ball on us. Third principle, keep your shield of faith up, for the continuing attacks of Satan are aiming at you. Don't think that the devil will take the day off. He does not take the day off. Amen? Let's stand up and pray.